Open up your ears and open up your mind. They'll reach into your throat and pull out your spine. And when the sun blows up and the earth is gone, there's still experience grind with Kyle and Sean.
You know, wrestling referees, that's the thing that they have to learn is their rhythm. And then the wrestlers have to learn that too. So,
you know, I was just thinking about it the other day, and that, like, honestly, the most unrealistic thing about wrestling is the fact that a referee, okay, nobody ever talks about this or thinks about it, but the referee that can register somebody lifting up their shoulder and just stopping their hand just centimeters away from the ring mat to avoid a third smack, like, that's superhuman perception and reaction. Like, that's just not realistic, and nobody ever talks about it, and I think that we need to have a dialogue about this.
It is possible. I mean, I've done it. I see the shoulder up, because that's in a real wrestling.
Yeah.
So I've guest refereed a few times. I was like, here's the deal to make things look good. And this is what I tell the referees too. It's like, count every count like you're going to count to three. And you can slide that hand to where it's not hitting. Your arm can hit, but that hand, the moment it hits, that's the count. But
you see them
a lot more now come down closer with that forearm, and so they can slide that hand out of the way if it's like two.
Here's what I would do. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is what I would do. This is why I'll never have a job as a ref. But you know what? There would be times. Okay. Just because there's always that one wrestler that's going to try to get it up with like a nut hair's worth of timing left. I'm speeding up on that motherfucker. I am counting him out. He's getting a three. Do not try to, you know, wait till the last second. You're done.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's what should happen in some of those instances, because it's like, dude, I know you're trying.
I'm saying I'm going to fast count to teach you a lesson.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't go that far, but if you have a consistent count, and this is the thing I always tell, I've always told referees and other wrestlers I've worked with, I was like, dude, if the ref counts to three and he wasn't supposed to, that's not on him. That's on you. You didn't kick out. You forgot. The ref can tell you to kick out at the two, but he's got to look like he's counting to three. Otherwise, it looks like shit, and what's the point in that?
You know, I'm saying all this, but if I got fast counted on, or like I forgot to kick out and they like counted three, I'd still beat the shit out of the ref backstage.
Like when the ref,
listen here, come on, you,
the ref fucked up
over here.
Like when the ref forgot to count to three in the Rock's match, and the Rock like beat his ass.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
He's like, count to fucking three.
Honestly, I was probably a little chocolate milked up when I was thinking that the other day. So,
hey, you know what? It's still a good thought.
Exactly. Thank you. Everyone's like, oh, that slam, Sophie. I'm like, what about the three counts? Huh?
Hey.
Bullshit.
You don't even get a three count really in real wrestling. So, it's just like,
them shoulders is pinned.
Yep. Boom.
Pinned. And I think the smart thing would actually be if, like, like a Vader or Yokozuna, just sit on the chest. Like, well, the fact that they were ever kicked out of is the biggest load of crap.
Oh, well, those
Yoko
moves,
never,
especially,
Yoko was
yes.
never kicked out of.
Well, that's good. That's the way that it
the
should
Banzai
be.
Drop was never kicked out of. Well, I don't even think the Vader bomb. I don't even think the Vader bomb and the Vader
kicked out of in general.
Well, the Vader bomb has been kicked out of, but that's only by Kane.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Here's what I was going to say, gentlemen. Number one, it's Brooks Tober. Hi, Brooks.
What's
I love
up?
You. Number two, let's keep this Halloween spooks Brooks Tober wrestling theme going. Undertaker aside, who was your favorite supernatural or horror themed wrestler?
Damn.
Oof.
Wow.
That's
the demon, clearly.
The demon?
The Kiss Demon?
Yeah. Part of Kiss?
Yeah.
Oh, that guy from WCW just that just eventually just, they called him the Demon. Well, Helmet, what was that, like four matches?
No, he wrestled, I think, a while.
Was it like
he was contracted for only
so
a couple.
So it was two different people. First person that was supposed to be was Bryan Adams, who then he backed out of it. He was actually, like, it was a storyline going into that because he got seen going into the Kiss limousine, and then he was supposed to the actual debut of where he pops up on stage. I remember that Nitro, I think it was, where Kiss did a song and the Kiss Demon shows up. That was actually the him.
Concert era.
Yeah.
Nitro, man.
And then after that, what a time. He decided against it. Or
Trunble or something,
they
right?
They came up with the Chronic gimmick, I think, shortly thereafter.
Oh, yeah, he was Chronic. That's right.
And then so they gave it to another guy who had a similar build named Dale Torborg. Not as good as a wrestler.
That's the one. Yo, he's still doing stuff as the Demon.
Yeah. No, and hey, he has longevity. And plus, I think
he has
more passion now than he did back then.
Yeah.
But also, he's like 60 and knows that he can get paid for it. So who knows if it's passion or an easy check. But does it really matter at a certain point?
I mean, no. I wrestled a 70-year-old man in a credible match. So
there you go.
That's amazing.
So that's what you're saying, Brooks?
What? No, that's not who I'm saying. I was just spewing my wrestling knowledge.
Man, oh, okay. I don't know if either one of us could realistically say that and not get our asses kicked or have a wrestling fan card revoked.
So I have always been, in terms of wrestling, I always was a Kane fan.
Okay.
Kane,
yes.
Yeah, Kane's fucking top tier. I almost excluded him too.
He has quite possibly one of the best choke slams ever.
Sure. Yeah. It's really good.
I mean, The Undertaker had a good one, but his real good ones were with guys that could really sell it well. Brock Lesnar in particular sells his choke slam like he just gets killed. Like, I've never seen a guy pop up 2 feet off the mat with a choke slam, but Brock Lesnar does it every time.
I was about to say, it also helps that Lesnar's got ups to begin with.
Oh, yeah,
because he's a massive dude, so the visual of someone that's just as massive, I mean, a little bit more big, you know, height-wise than him, just getting him up, even though it's just Brock just launching, is so impressive.
Yeah, it's impressive. Great athleticism on both guys, but... I'd go Kane.
I mean,
Kane is probably my best one.
It's tough for me because it's, you know, when you have Kane or Undertaker, they're just like the two iconic ones of that. And then anything other than that, like, okay, Vampiro, he's pretty iconic.
Yes.
But who outside of that would you really consider? Do you consider Mankind? Definitely not. Abyss, maybe, you know, like where else? Bray Wyatt, I guess, has some of those horror elements.
I was gonna say him and the Fiend.
Oh, I tell you, I actually there was another one I latched onto, but it was also just because of the person behind the mask, Mortis.
Oh, Mortis! Yo, Canyon ruled, man.
Yeah,
Canyon
was awesome.
He was like a WCW guy.
My first finishing move was the flatliner.
That's amazing.
Oh, and okay, that's tight.
So it was, I would just like grab it. I grabbed it the way he did and his original way of doing it. Now where we got to WWE, he started picking the guy up and dropping him kind of like a reverse rock bottom. But I still did this, like the reverse Russian leg sweep style and just snapped it back.
Amazing.
It was so
much
fun.
When I was little, like, That was around the same time that like Glacier came in and you had Mortis.
It was a whole story.
It was just like the riffs off of Mortal Kombat.
It was a whole storyline that they had built. Like it was an actual name. Blood Runs Cold, I think is what it was.
Yeah.
And it was the whole storyline. It was Mortis, Wrath, Glacier, and Ernest the Cat Miller. We're all
yeah. I thought he was the coolest looking motherfucker ever though.
Oh yeah.
When I think of horror themed wrestlers, man, I don't think he was good in the ring, but I always like seeing him get beat up. But I always think of Gangrel.
Gangrel was good. I love me some Brood.
Yeah. I really did like the Brood a lot. Edge, Christian, and Gangrel coming up from the fire. That was always badass, dude.
I was in Vegas this year when Edge or Adam Copeland came out to the whole theme entrance and Gangrel was there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's tight.
Dude, it was so tight. It was so sick. I was like, huh?
Let's go.
It's my freaking childhood. Just go with it, man.
It's Gangrel. Did he do the blood and everything?
Crazy. Yeah, dude.
Tight. Dude,
red lighted out, had the music.
Yes.
It was so sick. Yeah.
So he.
Yeah, that shit always hit
David
hard.
David Heath owns, he has a stake in that name. So he's got it fully leased from White Wolf Entertainment.
That and The Brood.
Yeah.
Pretty sure he owns that.
I think so. So.
But, yeah.
Were there any others?
Well, you had.
I'm sure.
You had the Boogeyman.
Wait, what about. Remember count. The Fuck Yeti the that looked like a mummy?
Yeah, there's.
That's yeah, there's one. An ECW, the Yeti.
No, that was WCW.
That looked like a mummy. Yeah, it was WCW.
Well, there was also a zombie the ECW,
zombie and
ECW. Rebirth.
Oh, they rebirthed them?
Okay. Yeah.
I thought it was a zombie.
In 2006.
The Yeti was played by the same guy that would play like the naked Attack on Titan guy, wouldn't it? That giant dude?
Dude. It was Reese.
There was also a zombie in the 2006 yes. ECW.
There was also
you saying that
there's also another vampire Kevin Thorne.
What was his
Kevin
name?
Kevin Thorne.
Yeah, but Mordecai.
Yeah, he was Mordecai, yes.
Yeah. The Holy Undertaker.
Uh-huh.
Was he the one that would wear all white?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so dumb.
And he had the white it was really dope till you saw him wrestle.
Yeah. He was.
I always liked.
I'm glad they saved that gimmick for Shawn Michaels' entrance in WrestleMania 25.
I did like when Undertaker made the Ministry and.
That's my answer. When God wrestled.
Oh, that's your favorite horror character.
You said Supernatural.
Oh, yeah. I did say that too. Yeah, I guess you get it. You got me there.
His whole two Bible thumpers that are latching onto this show still are gone.
Who was it? Mabel. He had Mabel put in the fucking
Viscera.
So that he didn't have to wrestle him because that's who broke his fucking face.
Yes.
Big Daddy V.
Yeah.
What a wild time the early 90s was.
Big old pair of boobs.
Oh, man. Ugh.
Yeah. Anyways, I don't think I can say that.
What up, boys? Brooks Tober.
Indeed.
I fucked up. I kept getting the dates wrong, so I've already watched Brooks's movie too.
That's okay.
That's hilarious.
But we watched. Sean is actually up first.
I am.
Sean has gifted us in his pumpkin jack-o'-lantern a movie called Hush, which I love that you pick this like almost the instant it just went off of Netflix.
No. Okay. Yeah. It had just dropped. I picked it. And then a couple of days after I told you that that's what I'm doing, I went to look for it because it was just on Netflix. I'm like, why the fuck can't I find this streaming anywhere?
Yeah.
Okay. And then listen to this, Brooks. I rent it on Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
And that night it gets announced that it's going to be streaming live on Shudder streaming free on Shudder starting the next day.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me right now? I can't catch a break with this. I might as well have purchased this movie. Because spoilers, I loved this movie when I watched it. I should have just bought it at this point.
Might as well.
So that was going to be my first question. Have you not seen this movie before? Was this your first time seeing this?
This was my first time seeing this. And man, there was a whole bunch of revelations that popped up for me while watching this that made me so hyped that I waited so long to watch this because of other things that I have viewed.
What made you notice this movie or I guess want to watch this one?
It has been on so many lists over the last couple of months. Like, I'm always looking for new good horror movies to watch. Like, I don't want to watch some crummy one. And also, I don't want to end up in the same level of disappointment that I had with Hereditary, where it's like, I enjoy the first half of it, but by the end of it, I'm like, this movie fucking sucks. Like, stop putting supernatural spoilers at, like, or curves at the end of the movie. Like, I just hate that shit. And I so I've been doing like a lot of searches into horror movies or thrillers or whatever that don't have any of those elements to them. And this movie's just been popping up nonstop over the last, I don't know, 2 months, to the point where I think it was last week that I really decided on this movie. And it's because I just really wanted to watch this movie. I'm like, I might as well talk about it too. So
I'll be honest, that's part of how I do some of these myself. It's like, I know I want to see these movies. And then I usually, and with, what was one of them we did that, Event Horizon.
Tales from the Hood?
Event Horizon, though. I hadn't seen until, and I held off watching it until that year that I decided I was going to do it.
Wait, that was your pick?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, Kyle, you're fine. I knew it wasn't your pick. I think Kyle's broken.
I think we broke.
I might be.
I'm fairly certain Event Horizon was my pick.
I think so, too.
I'll have to go back.
Is that the same year?
That we did what?
My terrible movie, Tales from the Hood? Was that just last year?
Tales from the Hood was last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, but was Event Horizon last year, too?
No.
Oh, I'll have to go back and listen.
This is why you thought that you did both of them.
I will say that is the first time this year that I haven't gone back and checked out our previous sessions to, you know, determine. I did go back through messages to find out the order.
Yeah.
Because I made a shirt.
I did too, and I still watched it out of order.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah. You have been corrected like 3 times. Oh,
I know.
Weeks.
I laughed like because I was watching The Void when you sent me the message and were like, hey, man, so I've got that movie in my YouTube if you wanted to watch it. I'm probably going to watch it tomorrow. And I was like, why are you going to watch that tomorrow? Well, you're doing The Void. And then I was like, wait a minute. I went and looked and I was like, oh, God damn it. So I had to watch it. I had to watch Hush today as well. It was also my first time watching Hush.
Mine as well.
So.
Oh, okay. Sick.
So this is a three-way... you know, virgin watch.
I was about to say, don't end it with this is a three-way. You got to have more to say than that.
It's a three-way cherry pop.
Uh-huh. Well, let me ask you guys, let me ask you guys something. Have you guys watched like the Haunting of Hill House kind of anthology kind of thing on Netflix? So that, Bly Manor, Midnight Club, Fall Out House, Usher, like that kind of thing?
Thought it was Midnight Mass.
Midnight Mass, yeah.
I have not watched any of that stuff, but after watching this, I'm like, I need to go back and watch some of this stuff because I know
I watched Midnight Mass because I heard it was very Stephen King-esque, and it stars this guy I like, Rahul. He plays the sheriff.
Yep, he's great. Rahul,
he's on one of my favorite YouTube channels. He used to guest on there a lot, Funhouse.
Well, and
Rahul's great.
It's all Mike Flanagan too, isn't it?
Uh huh. Yes. It is all Mike Flanagan who did this movie too.
So yeah. I didn't realize that this was a Mike Flanagan flick, and I got super hype. You guys, I'm sure you recognized, you know, Kate Siegel, and then the person that was starring beside her, Samantha, I believe is her first name. Yeah, Samantha Sloyan played Sarah, her best friend. They were both on Midnight Mass, and... they're also in the other ones as well. They all play new characters. It's very cool.
It's very American Horror
Story. Did you guys
notice
what Maddie's book was called?
Midnight Mass.
The author of. Uh-huh. Yo, I lost my shit. This movie came out in 2016.
That's funny.
Midnight Mass came out in 2021.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh shit, here we go, this is sick.
Yeah,
I love stuff like that.
That's great, man. I'm glad that hyped you up and you caught that.
Yeah, dude. I was so... It's like the small things and the little details like that, especially when it dawned on me. I'm like, oh, wait, the two of them were in Midnight Mass together and all of the other shows. Wait a minute. And it actually turns out that Kate Siegel was one of the
writers.
Wrote this with Flanagan. Uh-huh. She's the co-writer.
Yeah.
And I guess they would act it out together in the house to like get it correct how it would really feel. So that's how they wrote it. And I think they like would shoot a lot of test footage to get it how they wanted it, which is, again, awesome. It shows the testament of a great movie you can do in a very limited place with very few people.
It's like what? Maybe 5 actors total in this movie?
There's 5 actors. And if we were rating this on our action movie scale, there's only a body count of 3.
Mm-hmm. Very low body count.
Yeah.
With one of the 3 being the killer themselves. So
yeah,
it's
spoilers already. Yeah,
it's a very low body count, but I mean, I'll tip my hand, I guess, a little bit here too. It's a very well-crafted thriller. It reminded me a lot of times of the Killers or whatever with a Liv?
The Strangers.
The Strangers. Yeah, that first one, man. When like you just see them lurking in the background, like that's what the Strangers' high point is. And I wish they would have played with that a little more in this movie, because there's that time when he's behind her when she's on the phone call.
Yeah.
And when he just talks to her because he knows she can't hear her, it's really creepy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I like how they subvert that later on when he's behind her in the bathtub and he just like in a moment of not thinking gives a sigh of exasperation. But her, of course, she feels the slight breath and just,
That scene was like so sick.
Yeah. It's the great little touches, the great little details.
Yeah.
It's funny that you bring up The Strangers. I saw that in theaters back in 2008. It's one of my least favorite movies of all time.
Really? I was on the edge of my seat, man. I hate
that movie. I opened up a Fandango account and wrote like a 4,000 word review on it. Like, I tried to find it recently.
That's so funny. Because
I was talking about how much I hate that movie. And it turns out that Fandango got bought out by Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah,
I think Rotten Tomatoes has it. So I scrolled through, I shit you not, 16 years of reviews.
To find yours?
Let me tell you, there's a lot of reviews even to this day. A lot. Until my computer like slowed down so much just because from of how much them? It had loaded.
The page file is huge.
Oh, it took forever. And I gave up after about 15 minutes of scrolling.
Gave up about after 15 years of content.
This is funny because outside of this movie, the 2 horror movies you've mentioned in this episode you've hated, I have absolutely fucking loved. I love Hereditary. I really, really liked that one. So,
hey,
that's fair.
That's the joy of doing this, though. Is like, you know,
yeah.
There's 3 people here. There's 3 different opinions. Usually, I'm the middle of the road. So,
there was points during this movie where I was thinking to myself, and I thought of The Strangers and how much I think I should have loved that movie, but I didn't. I would actually like to go back and revisit that. I haven't seen it since it was in theaters. And I have had no desire to ever watch any of the sequels or reboots or whatever that has come from that. But I also did just watch Don't Breathe like last week again. And like, again, that's another one because I do enjoy that movie. It would almost lend credence to the fact that I should like The Strangers. But
I thought The Strangers is tense. It's fuck, I had something I was going to say. No! It was a poignant point.
Was it about Don't Breathe and how Maddie should have taken a page out of that old war veteran's book, minus the whole having the chick down in the basement thing? That's spoilers for anybody who hasn't seen it. Well,
he was
just blind,
so he was really good at hearing, though. Like, what?
Yeah.
I don't know what she could do, really.
Well, she did end. With the fire alarm. She can't.
That was pretty awesome, too.
That was sick.
I love that there was... I did
the wasp killer?
Watching the movie, I had 2 thoughts. I was like, oh, Chekhov's fire alarm. And then later on, when like she's getting something out from under the cabinet, I was like, oh, Chekhov's wasp spray. And both of those came back to play a part. And I was like, yes, I knew it.
That's awesome. I didn't even see the wasp spray.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's it falls out of the cabinet when she's grabbing for something else. And I was like, oh, I bet he gets sprayed in the face later.
Another thing that did have kind of, I don't know if this is kind of a payoff, but I spent the entire movie thinking to myself, why the fuck doesn't he just throw a rock at any of these panes of glass? Any of them.
Well, that's why he said he'd
then
come
they
in.
Kind of explain it later when he can't bust through the glass.
Well, that too, but he also did say that he'd come in when he was when she wanted him to because he tormented her enough. So he was,
you know, it's strange. After getting the claw of a hammer ripped straight
to the
through
arm?
Your arm,
yeah.
To have that willpower to be like, listen, honey, it's not your time yet. Excuse me?
That's fun. Like,
yeah.
All right, I do want to say this one thing, and then, like, because it's my one gripe with the movie. I don't understand how she, as a deaf woman, knows how to and knows that she is being quiet. Especially when she's sneaking on a metal roof.
She didn't become deaf until she was 12.
Yeah, but still, like, she's, like, sneaking through leaves and stuff. And it's a suspension of disbelief. I'm very nitpicky.
Well, first of all, how to
be quiet.
It was
just funny to me that she's wearing boots on a metal roof, and it's just like,
how to be quiet on a metal roof, regardless of what shoes you're wearing. Yeah. That's the most disbelieving part in this.
Yeah.
It's like,
true.
I've walked on metal roofs.
On the gutters, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've walked on metal roofs. Yeah, they make a lot of noise.
Yeah. It would be creaking, that gutter.
Yeah, it'd be popping.
But also, like, he immediately shot her in the leg at that point. So I'm thinking it made a little bit more noise than my TV made out to be. But I don't think that her sneaking around outside, like, she's lived a life before she was deaf. I imagine in a situation like that, she'd be like, okay, I got to try to walk quietly and not smash everything up.
She did cool. I did like the small touches, like when she's under the porch and he's walking around and she's touching the boards to feel. That was like, that's fucking great stuff. Overall, like, it does so great with, like, building the tension. Like, so many times, I'm surprised I didn't get bored with it because it does keep it interesting. I think mostly because it's based in movement. But, like, every time that she's tracking him around the house from the inside, it doesn't, like, reduce his threat because you know he's out there. You know she's alone. The fucking psychological mind game he plays with her friend, like, on the window, holy shit,
well,
dude.
And the times when she tries to sneak out, she's risking a lot right there because she can't. She has to turn and see him. And there's a few instances where she's backing out. I'm like, oof, that's... I know that's probably the best way to do it, but that's real risky for her because she can't see the guy coming.
In a movie where somebody's missing a sense, often in other movies, like, other things are amplified or this or that. And that really doesn't come into play at all in this movie outside of that time where she feels someone breathing on the back of her neck. Now, that's not to say that anybody else wouldn't feel that. Like, you're alone in your house. You feel somebody, like, breathe on you. Okay, it's probably that other person. But it's almost like she has this different way of thinking because she can't hear everything, so she's always lurking in a corner and peering around. And it's just like, she's almost like a cat.
Yeah.
Kind of, I don't know.
What did you guys what did you guys think of the false finish?
Oh, I thought it was fantastic. That was also something that paid off from beginning of in the movie when she's like, I always have seven different endings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In my head.
Oh, with, like, the rock?
Yeah.
Yeah, that part was awesome.
Like, I was like, it kind of got me for a minute because I was like, oh. Then I saw how much time I had left, but I was like, that can't be it. But I was like, it's well done. If I was watching this in theaters or something, I'd like...
It may have gotten me more. If I didn't watch this after Kyle, and when I booted it up, there was like 4 minutes left in the movie, and it was like her sitting there with police lights and her covered in blood or whatever, and I had to start the movie over. So when it got to this point in the movie, I'm like, hold on a minute.
That's the other part. Bullshit. Like, I told him I rewound it after I finished it. Like, you do, you're supposed to rewind. Yep. Be kind, rewind.
Be kind,
but
rewind.
For some
reason, it's the Google thing. It picks up regardless of where you were at the last step.
It was like a real bummer. So, sorry that happened, buddy.
It isn't even... Honestly, have you guys watched Don't Breathe?
No.
No.
Oh, fuck me.
Maybe never later. Mind.
I know what it's about, but no,
well,
I've not
seen
it.
There's a scene in it where you think one thing happens, but something else actually happens. Oh. And I thought it was a similar situation. Listeners who have seen that, I think you know what I'm talking about with the hedge.
With your vagary. Sean, you know, since this was your movie, why don't you give us a breakdown? And me and Brooksy will kind of interject when we get to parts that we remember.
This is the easiest breakdown that I've ever had to do for a show ever. This mm-hmm. movie is an hour and 20 minutes long. And there is maybe a couple of minutes worth of breaking down here. You start with our main character, Maddie, who's played by Kate Siegel. And if it's Seagal, my bad. Also, I'm sorry if you are related to Steven Seagal and just... never mind. Ooh, anyways, Maddie is living in the woods, a really nice house, and nobody around, as she explains later when she's talking to her sister about dating and dating sites. There's like four guys in the area. When her friend shows up, played by Samantha Sloyan, her name's Sarah, who just finished her book, Midnight Mass. So she comes over to return it and give some feedback on it and just chat with her a little bit. Maddie was cooking at this time, doing a disaster. They're outside talking for a while. The aforementioned smoke alarm goes off. Stupid loud, flashing lights, super disorienting. If you are, I don't know, having it shoved not in your deaf. Face later because you're trying to kill somebody.
Yeah.
Probably mess things up. She
mentions how it's incredibly loud because it has to be so she can feel the vibrations if she's sleeping too. Yes. So it gives in-universe explanation for why this would physically hurt someone. And we see it physically hurting her friend who's over visiting because her friend is not deaf. So it's, again, Chekhov's fire alarm.
I also like all of the other things that were included in this movie to kind of go hand in hand with the fact that she's deaf, whether it be the blinking light on her flashlight of the flashlight of her phone,
when it's ringing,
which is something she can't feel it. She can't hear it. There's got to be some indicator. That is something that are put into phones for people that can't hear. The fact that they talk about, like, if she did have to call the cops, she can't. She has to FaceTime emergency services. Like, she can't talk. She can't hear. That kind of situation. It's just all little things that are peppered throughout this that really just... The fact that she's really good at writing things backwards, because I'm sure she's had to write messages and stuff to people before. Regardless. Anyways, her friend's got to go home. They agree to chat later. She goes inside. She's doing work, she's writing, she's in some writer's block kind of thing. And at this point, she goes to her kitchen where her friend reappears and is frantic and pounding on the glass door. Unfortunately for her, there's no way Maddie's gonna notice, even though she's like 2-3 feet away.
It is weird because she talks about how the fire alarm vibrations can wake her up, but she can't feel a grown woman beating frantically against her kitchen door 2 feet from her.
I mean, imagine sitting next to a large speaker. You can probably relate to this. Sitting next to a large speaker that's playing loud music. You can feel that.
Oh, yeah.
Can you feel somebody pounding on a window?
Yeah, I mean, like... I feel like even them stomping up the deck, you can feel it in the house. Like,
that's very possible.
It's going to shift a bit.
I think you might be able to feel more than hitting on glass. Regardless, she gets absolutely annihilated by
Merc. It's a really good death scene.
It was a really... Dude, he stabs her like 14 times in the stomach. Like, she's got a hole where her stomach used to be.
Her stomach is just like mashed at that point.
Yeah. Mash them guts. Oh, come on, Sean. You can't say that. Anyways, our killer does appear. It is everything you... If you've ever heard about this movie or seen a clip from it, it's very easy to recognize. It is a white face with... It's very blank, but just slight smile on the sides coming up. It's kind of very creepy with the fact that the eyes almost have bags under them.
Yeah.
Like the mask is so simple, but so detailed in the best way. And he realizes, oh, wow, she can't hear me. So yeah, he ends up breaking in while she's on the phone with her sister, FaceTiming, where her sister notices something moving in the background. He goes, ah, it's the cat. She went missing. And from this point forward, it's just kind of a game of him being outside and kind of tormenting her with different things like Sarah's body or cutting her tires. He's stolen her phone. He's taking Sarah's phone, which plays into things after when she distracts him with the car alarm and tries to crawl out the window to get her phone. To the point where she realizes after Sarah's husband comes over looking for her and sees the note on the door and our killer running around and pretending to be a cop that something's not quite right here.
So
and he, I want to jump in.
Yeah, because so the first thing is, number yeah. I think one of the most iconic things of this movie is this moment where like she realizes that Sarah is dead and that he's going to kill her. So she tries to bargain with him. She says, hey, she writes the message on the door with her lipstick. Hey, I haven't seen your face. I won't tell. Plus, my boyfriend's coming home. And he does the most fucking intimidating thing ever. He doesn't care that she hasn't seen his face. He takes his mask off and stares at her because he fully intends to kill her. Yeah. And it's a fantastic fucking moment. And you just realize, like, oh, fuck, man. Like,
yep.
No fucks given.
At this point, he sat there listening to her phone call with her sister, and he knows she doesn't have a boyfriend. It mm-hmm. does not matter. No that one's coming over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're dead. So at that point, after Sarah's husband dies, she realizes she does the whole thing where she sees seven different endings and realizes the only ending that he doesn't see coming is the one where she kills him.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a whole bunch of things that go on that I'm sure we'll talk about as we bring up different things for the movie. She does end up killing him. She almost dies herself. Ends up getting the phone, calling the police, and sits out on the front steps waiting for the police to arrive. And that is the end of the movie. So that's kind of the long and short. That is the short side of it. And then we can rewind and talk about some of the things that happened.
Rewind? I also really like, so when he takes his mask off, that's a fucking great moment. I was pretty like solidly hooked in at that moment. And just... I like a movie where, like, people aren't invincible. There's a part where, like, her hand gets incredibly fucked up. He slams it in a door and stomps on it and squishes it with, like, his full weight. That part was fucking awesome.
And
I really like
twisting, and you just keep hearing bones breaking.
I also like, that's what I was going to mention, that part. And when she's shot, they really reinforced the fact that not only is she deaf, she's mute. She can't scream for help because she's, like, her mouth is open and... like pain, she would be screaming if she could, but like she does not have that ability. Wow. Also, fantastic touches.
Mm-hmm.
You
really can't drive home like when he's stomping on her hand, how much it just looks like she is in complete like agony, like trying so hard to scream,
yeah,
with no sound coming out.
It's great like, acting,
so fantastic. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
You mentioned the whole scene with him taking off his mask. That I didn't anticipate so early in the movie.
Yeah.
Anything you see about this movie has her and somebody in a mask behind her. It's just shrouded in this mystery. You think I went into this fully thinking you weren't even going to have a face reveal until the end of the movie. And here you are for
pretty much
2/3 of the movie.
Yeah.
Her facing off with someone who's very human. It's not this masked, invincible person, like you just said. Very human. Just, I don't want to say psychopath, like deranged serial killer. He's a serial killer. He's killed 17 people, I think.
I thought it was 13.
According to the crossbow. There's at least 2 5 strikes. Maybe 13.
Yeah, which is 10. And then I thought he had 3 strikes on, or one and two. I thought it was 13.
Okay, so 13. You're right, actually. Yep.
I'm glad that you mentioned the fact that they really reinforced this human aspect of him, because my favorite time that they do that is when, like, he's the husband shows up and, like, the husband is questioning it and he's realizing it too. And as soon as homegirl bangs on the glass and distracts him, he stabs the guy in the neck. And mm-hmm. even with all that, the guy is, like, bleeding out and dying.
Yeah.
He almost kills the fucking killer. He's, like, choking him out. And I love when, like, the killer, like, the guy finally bleeds out and dies. And the killer sits up and he just laughs. And he's like, yeah I totally would have lost that fight. Dude, that was fucking great.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I love that bit, man. And the only other one I wanted to mention was, fuck, why do I keep losing it?
So no, the one I want to mention is that also reinforces the fact that this guy's human, he's vulnerable, is the clawhammer scene where he actually takes mm-hmm. the time to cut off the dead girl's shirt and mm-hmm. makes a bandage for it, because he knows he can't let that go on, because that was a pretty close strike to some veins and whatnot.
Yeah.
So
that's actually my only gripe about this movie. Is that while Maddie's character, through anything that she sustains, she is handicapped. She's handicapped from that point mm-hmm. forward, whether it be the crossbow bolt in her leg. She is almost immobile through that. She is bleeding out. It definitely didn't hit the femoral artery, because she would have been fucked in like 5 minutes. But
she would have been better off to leave the bolt
pretty
in.
Heavily.
That too, yeah. Man, she should not have taken it out.
That claw going through that guy's dominant hand.
Right. As someone, mm-hmm. someone who's had a surgery on the forearm in their area. Actually, my scar is right there. But you know that those nerve bundles there are sensitive. His arm,
I've broken my arm.
His arm had to be on fire.
That hammer was stuck in there.
And he would not have had the grip strength.
No, he would have lost all that.
The grip strength to be pulling back the crossbow.
No.
Because you see her trying to do it. Like, there's no way he's doing that. And the fact that that is his dominant hand and he lost almost nothing because of that is my only mm-hmm. gripe in this movie. That is the only superhuman aspect of this movie that someone can have. It's not like he's running off of like survival adrenaline.
No.
Yeah.
You know?
I remember the part that I keep wanting to mention. I love when it's revealed to Maddie that the killer is around, because he has her phone and he sends her messages from her own phone of increasingly creepy pictures of herself in her house. And the last one is from the angle of the door she just left open. Dude, that fucking made my skin crawl.
Mm-hmm.
That's my other gripe.
Yeah?
Yes. She has an iPhone. The husband has an iPhone. How is this guy getting into their phones? Without their passcode, their fingerprints, or their face. That is so improbable. Oh, it bothered me so much when he was sending her photos.
Her phone I don't have locked. An iPhone, so There's I don't no- know.
There's no way
you have to. You have to. You do have to have some sort of secure.
The biometric stuff. Yeah.
Either the biometric or the iPhones. Pin.
Yep.
Of disbelief, but yeah.
Technically,
whatever.
You should go.
I liked it. I thought it was great, just because it shows her around the house, and then like that last one where it's from the open door, and I was like, "Fuck, dude."
It was really creepy,
mm-hmm.
and I felt like I was in her pants when like she's
whoa.
She doesn't even turn
Simmer
her head.
Now.
I know. I caught. But she doesn't even, like, turn her head. It's just, like, her eyes, like, she can't believe it. Like, she doesn't want to show that she knows. And God damn, it's so fucking well done, man.
I liked how she... I don't know why I try to look for mistakes like this, but I always, like, if it's from a certain side or a certain angle, like, I always pay super close attention to if that person then looks at where it would have come from. I'm like, oh, you're going to slip up. You're going to look the wrong way this time. But no, it was really well done. And honestly, the phone thing didn't bother me that much, because clearly I forgot about it until you mentioned the phone.
I didn't pick up on it. I vaguely like I said, it's just stuff about iPhones.
Again, it's one of those things I can give up to just make the movie. Because also, like, this guy would not have believed this fucking dork ass dude was a cop for a second without asking, like, do you have a fucking tattoo? Badge? Anything? Because this guy seems smart enough and he's huge. Like, and you see the guy is clearly bleeding.
Well, and on top of that, too, I mean, he's picking up on things as he's going along, too. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, he ain't dumb.
That was fantastically
It was like, it was a game of how far can I push this before he realizes I know. And both mm-hmm. of them are playing this game.
Yeah.
And you're watching it unfold. It was really good.
I like that the husband noticed the danger almost immediately, and his wife's earring falling out of his pocket really just established. Like he knew when the guy tried to pocket his phone, he's like, hey, I'm going to need to get that back. Like,
yeah, he was already on edge at that point.
Yeah.
Because again, he doesn't look like a cop.
He goes, are you a cop? He goes, deputy, new, you know, kind of new to the job. Dude, you have a tattoo the size of Mike Tyson's head on your neck. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Wearing a hoodie. Come on.
This movie got surprisingly violent.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of violent. Like I said, when he mangles her hand and she's running around with it, just clutched to her through the rest of the movie, and you see like fingers going 9 different directions. It's
even the fake brick ending, rock ending at the was pretty it was
really good, brutal.
Really brutal.
The splashes of blood.
Well, even when she, you know, turns her head and does the little reveal that this was all in her head, literally. Mm-hmm.
I love that bit when she's talking to herself. She talks through all the endings.
I love how they kind of preemptively explained that. It's like, yeah, I have a voice in my head. When I talk, mm-hmm. I mean, or when I'm thinking.
I've got the writer's brain,
yeah.
As my mom calls it. I like when she talks about the cat escaping earlier, she just jokingly, she says, yeah, the bitch got out. And then later on when the cat shows back up, the cat's name is Bitch.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was great. I was about to get pissed. I thought the cat was going to die.
Yeah, that was a good crossbow shot from her.
Yeah.
To get that it's amazing right what you can do. She
amazing what you can do when your pet's in trouble.
Yeah. Sharpshooter.
I could probably hit that shot if someone was after my dog.
I will say, like, the last 20 minutes of this movie, definitely up until that point, this was at most a PG-13 movie. That last 20 minutes pushed it on over to that rated R.
That hard R.
Like that. Dude, the bottle opener through his throat, through his esophagus, was gnarly.
Yeah,
it looked like he's gargling,
and his throat was kind of bulging a little bit too. As
it was bulging, and there was an entry and exit.
Yeah,
yeah,
it was coming out both. That was gruesome.
Oh, it was gnarls.
I like how the heartbeat was getting slower as she reached for it, and then mm-hmm. when she stabs him, and then it starts getting faster because his grip's loosening. That was a really nice touch.
Mm-hmm.
That again, she would hone in more as a deaf person. Those senses would be raised.
To touch on the sound a little bit, you just mentioned the heartbeat. The sound, I like the way that they played between using what you would hear as a normal person mm-hmm. in that situation, you know, like your average person, and then switching to her point of view, where it's just like the stark silence and, you know, hearing that heartbeat, or her having to use her hand to feel his footsteps above. And when she's inside and not being able to really sense anything,
when she's in the bathroom, there's just
moments of silence
that she mm-hmm. gets, you know, jumped from behind, you know, you see the glass shattering behind her and she can't hear it.
Yeah.
We can't hear it.
Yeah.
But watching the feet.
Yep.
Come down and appear behind her was so skin crawly for me, man. That scene with the claw hammer where she's pressed up against the wall and she sees his shadow. Actually, not his shadow. It was her friend Sarah's shadow knocking on the window, which, of course, the amount of knocking in this window set Rupert off so many fucking times.
I watched this on my PC, so I had the headphones on, and so no dogs were alarmed in the watching of this film. So
lucky. There's a lot of scenes like that too, where she would be like pressed up against the wall.
Well, it was like when he was also it was really, really interesting. Like he's trying to figure out, it's like, dude, she's not, whenever he first kills the Sarah, it's like he's trying to figure out, it's like, why is she not reacting?
Yeah, and why's this bitch ignoring me?
Exactly. And then it kind of figures it out.
I like love the scenes in this movie where she is like pressed up against the wall, and she's keeping out of sight of the windows really well. That's where I meant by like she's almost like a cat, just kind of like staying just out of sight, playing around with those things to her advantage, ducking under windows, stuff like that. And you can just see him moving around the house, just trying to get any like eyes on her in general. And just always kind of not being able to, and having to use things like Sarah's dead body to try to, you know, lure her out.
Also, if this movie had, if this chick had been like 25% more American and just had a gun, this movie wouldn't have happened. She just fucking blasted him through the window the first time.
The thing is, though, same could be said for the killer.
I mean, yeah, but like they lead up the whole time that like he's purposely trying to taunt her and tease her. Like
he's not the gun type of guy.
He could
inflict terror
in at any point.
Yeah. Like, oh, I did think, why didn't he just like shoot the crossbow bolt through a window?
Yeah, you know? Or through the wall when she's like leaning up against it. Like it's got enough force, it would get through. I was going to say, I think there's only like 50 or 70 lines of dialogue total in the whole movie. There's very, very little. Most of it is between the killer and the husband.
Mm. Is that including lines of sign language, or are you just being ableist?
No, like that.
I'm kidding, I'm kidding, everybody.
Yeah, talking. Wow. And then she's, it's funny, she hears her own voice in her own head.
Mm-hmm.
Which we hear too.
Yeah. Overall, man, I thought this movie fucking ruled, dude. It had such great like thriller edge. Like I said, it was very similar to The Strangers. It made me feel uncomfortable, uneasy almost the whole time. Like there's a lot of screaming at the TV. No, bitch, don't do it. Don't do it. No, don't. Mm-hmm. Don't go the way. Don't. Ah, what are you doing? Your hand. Ah. All kinds of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Great first choice. A fantastic kickoff.
Yeah.
I know I'm not going to shit up the bed with fucking Tales from the Crypt pick this year, so.
I'm looking forward to every pick this year. I haven't seen either one of your movies. I just typed in Kyle's last week to just kind of see. I think on air I typed it in just to kind of see, not even what it was about, but see a screenshot, a couple of images from it, and just look at the cast. And I'm very excited for that. Void, I know less than zero about that, but outside of the fact that it's like less than 10 years old,
mm-hmm.
It's a cosmic
Lovecraftian horror version of The Thing.
Yeah.
Sick. I'm here for that.
Have you seen it, Brooks? Have you seen The Void?
No, it's one of those that I've been wanting to watch. I was just waiting for a good opportunity to do it, and I was like, okay, Brookstober's always good.
I watched it again, this, like I said, thinking that we were doing it first, but I watched that movie when it came out, because it was like on a lot of like horror people that were like, yo, this movie is really fucking dope. So I'm excited for both of you guys to watch that. That's our third one. So I'm up next week, right? We're doing In the Mouth of Madness?
I'm going to look. Actually, I have all of the title cards already done. So nice. I will let you know right now.
I'm almost positive. And I think Brooks closes us out.
Yeah, I think I close this out this year.
371 is... This is episode 370, unofficially.
Wow.
That's fucking wild to me. Yes, next one's In the Mouth of Madness.
I don't even remember how many I've been on. I think I'm...
Well,
am I in the...
Brookstober's...
50s now?
Yep, you're up there. It's going to be interesting next year. Brooks, because I don't know if you've heard, but we're expanding the show by 2 at the end of this month.
Oh.
And we're taking on board the former Beer Me and Movie Boys, Dave and Brian. They're going to be joining us here at Experience Grind full time. So.
Well, that should be a should make it interesting for Brooks Tober.
It'll be a fun time. So, I mean, we're just going to start doing some movie rotations. So we might have some other people choose it. I mean, Brooks will always get a top billing movie choice, but it'll be interesting to see what other people bring in movie wise. I know Dave likes all that weird artsy fucking nutso foreign shit.
I will say that I might have to
sitting out that shit.
I will say that I may have to join you guys at a later date, either this end of this year or early next year, because I want to discuss another movie I'm going to go see when it comes out, Nosferatu.
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we could definitely do because I know I'm very hyped on that one. I'm pretty sure
I saw the trailer for that the other day, and I was like, "That looks."
We got Willem Dafoe, dog. Let's
Willem
go,
Dafoe.
Baby.
You know, was it Bill Skarsgård or which one is it?
Yeah, Bill Skarsgård.
Yeah. So
I like all the
good
Skarsgård.
Old Pennywise himself.
Yep.
Speaking of vampires, So I didn't realize. This is a complete aside and just tangentially related because of vampires, but I had to get AMC Plus or whatever for last week's movie, whatever that was. I honestly don't even remember, but it wasn't until like a couple of days later when my free trial is about to run out that we realize that is where we can watch the Interview with the Vampire season 2.
Okay. Yeah.
Is, and so like we scrambled as fast as we could to try to plow through the season, but it looks like I'm paying for a month of AMC Plus.
Sometimes though, if it's worth it to just get stuff that you want to watch out of the way.
Dude, there's so much good stuff on there.
I had just picked up because it was relatively cheap, the triple play between Max, Hulu, and Disney Plus. It's like
I just did that too.
$30 a month for everything ad free.
Dude,
I'm like
ad free.
Dang right.
Okay, so I just
and AEW is coming in next year.
Sure is, man. So I just got a new iPhone a couple weeks ago, and during that it was talking about like, oh, you know, have you looked at your plan recently? You could probably save some money, and so I'm looking online. I'm looking through them. I've had Max ad free Max for free. Through my plan for the last 10 plus years. I'm grandfathered in. You can't get this anymore.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I was staunchly like, I'm not getting rid of this plan until I saw that you just talked about, the ad-free Hulu, Disney Plus, and Max. Because I already pay for ad-free Hulu.
Yeah.
It's going up to $19. Like at this point, it's like...
And I think this one's a good solid 2 years. That it's going to stay at this price.
Good. Because my Hulu was about to go up. So at this point...
And Disney Plus was also getting ready to go up too.
I'm getting Disney Plus for free and one of the two at a discounted rate, just paying the $30.
Exactly. That's kind of where I'm at. It's like, okay.
So I'm going to, in the next 3 weeks, try to watch as much shit as I can that we want to off of AMC Plus. And then... never get it again.
I was very happy for this month. They got some of the better Heisei Godzilla movies on there. So on Max.
On AMC Plus?
Max.
Oh, on Max.
Yeah.
Dude, like, Max is the one, it's been the one thing that I will never get rid of. I fucking love everything on Max, from the cooking shows to the A24 flicks.
I've been watching... rewatching the Batman the Animated Series and all this
fucking
other stuff.
A.
I was like,
fucking A.
That's what's up, dude.
Hey, what do you fellas think about giving this a rating?
I think we can do that.
Yep.
What order
I'll
do
Brooks.
Do
Brooks, do
here?
You. You do me.
Okay, so you do Brooks.
Brooks, do you. You do me.
Okay.
It's how it appears on my screen currently.
I see it. Bop, 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 bop. Yep, I'm on board.
For me, it's exactly. Bop, 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 bop. Yeah.
Brooks.
Yo.
Let's say you're a very attractive rider living in the middle of the woods. You're deaf. You can't talk. All you can do is sign language. But it's okay. You're Brooks. Your friend comes over, does some really shitty sign language with you. Can't quite figure out how to say storyteller or kissing.
That sounds right. Like Kyle already.
No, it's you. Honestly, it's you. But you guys start talking about like endings of your books and stuff, and you go, I don't know. My mom says I've got a writer's brain. It's honestly kind of awful. It's the worst. Like, imagine complaining about being a good writer. Fuck out of here. Brooks, you're the worst. But let's say at any given point you can visualize 14 different endings. 14 different endings to your book. On a scale of 1 to these 14 different endings, what would you give this movie, Hush? Not to be confused with Batman Hush.
I would give this, not to be confused with Dr. Thomas Elliot, I would give this the solid grade of 12 endings. Normally, thrillers are not my cup of tea, but this one kept me really engaged. And it was well done. I mean, there's some nitpicks here and there, but the only two knocks against it is that it's a thriller. Again, not my cup of tea, but I enjoyed the movie. So, probably won't watch it again, but I would recommend it to people because it's solid. I enjoyed it.
That's fair. Like, I enjoy me a movie that, like, you watched. It's, for me, it's like Midsummer. Like, I never want to watch that movie again, right. But I'll recommend it to everybody.
I watched that movie with my mom.
Yeah, that was
after I already knew what I'd already seen it once.
You watched it and then
I watched it again.
Wait until they get to this thrust scene.
Uh huh. It was like, oh yeah, this part's in this movie. Oops.
Okay.
No, that's a respectable 12. That's very good, man.
Yeah. Kyle.
Yeah, buddy.
If you were a young girl running through the woods to get to your friend's house and beat on her beat on her door to try to get her attention because she's deaf, and then you get a crossbow bolt in the back.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, the killer comes up and starts to stab you in the gut about 27 times. How many stabs do you give this movie out of 27?
Out of 27, in my own gut, I'm taking probably, before I die,
a good 25? I think I really fucking like this movie. I was very impressed with it. Smaller budget horrors are very hit or miss for me. This did everything correctly, man. I was hooked almost from the moment it really gets going. The director, though, he's fucking great at everything he does. Learning how this movie came together, it made so much sense why it was so well crafted, because I feel like they almost had already recreated every shot and knew what they wanted to get. Right. So it made it really cool, because like the director and the star, they both like pretty much filmed this or wrote this whole movie together, like physically acting out almost every part to get it right how they feel it would really go. So 25 out of 27. It's not exactly perfect, but it's hard to really find anything to be that upset about. So Shawnee boy.
Yo, and also put a pin on that lower budget thing. I've got some one more question. Everybody around.
We'll be there. But Shawnee boy, let's say... Damn, Brooks took mine about getting stabbed in the gut.
I was waiting. I was waiting for Sean to steal mine. I was like...
So...
I was kind of pleasantly surprised that Sean didn't do that. So I did.
All right, I'll make this easy for you, Sean. Sure. So say that in a last act of desperation... You reach your good hand outside of the sliding glass door for the arrow, but you don't quite get it back.
This is good.
And the guy is stepping on and grinding your hand. On a scale of 1 to 5 fingers, how many are broken, mangled, and utterly destroyed?
Man, I'm really pissed I didn't think of this one. That one's really good. Oh, man. As I mentioned last week, it's tough when there's less numbers to go with because I'm just going to have to skew up higher. Yeah. I'm like 4 of them are absolutely bent out of shape, and one of them's got a fracture on it. Like, I'll give this four gnarly breaks and an ouchie.
A Band-Aid.
And
a splint. Yes. Hold it in place.
I'm glad. It's so many times you go into a movie that has a lot of hype or build up, or you've seen so many people say that it's really good, just to leave it being underwhelmed or disappointed. And I'm glad to say that that wasn't the case here. This was everything that I had hoped it to be. I said it earlier, like, I kind of wish I just bought the movie instead of renting it, because this is one that I would watch every fall season. Like, it's a good movie.
Even if you don't, this is, the guy puts out so much good stuff that you want to make sure that, you know, he gets every dollar he can get.
We're watching Midnight Club right now, and like, I'm surprised that we missed that one.
Midnight Mass. Like,
if you guys haven't watched Fall of the House of Usher, check that out. That's really good. This movie slapped so
Mandy
hard.
She needs to log into your YouTube while we were filming this and watch it. I don't know if she did yet, but she wanted to.
She should.
I told her how good it was, and it would be right up her alley. It's a very good thriller. So
I told Sarah, like, she's at her painting class right now. I'm like, hey, when you get home, watch it. Because I was hoping to watch it with her, but I'm like, man, you got to watch it. I can't wait for her to watch it. And honestly, you said it, Kyle, like, everything that Mike Flanagan puts out is really good. And looking through the credits of the stuff that came out behind this, like Ouija, Origin of Evil, it's all very similarly rated, like mid 6 to high 6.
He did Oculus too. IMDb. Oculus is a really good movie if you've never seen that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I haven't, but that has popped up. And that's actually, like, he's been doing movies since like the early 2000s, but like lower key, like independent things. Oculus was something that was like based off of something else that he had made, like Oculus Chapter 1, 2, and 3. So this was like the big budget kind of thing. So I'm really happy to go back and kind of, he directed Dr. Sleep as well. I didn't realize that. But I'm hyped to go back and watch the rest of his stuff. But boys, Kyle mentioned low budget. This movie had a budget of $1 million.
Wow.
Shocker. There's only like 4 people in this freaking movie. $1 million in 2016, which is roughly $7 million today.
Okay.
I'm, again, just kidding. Nobody laughed. Yeah. Awesome.
I laughed.
Hey, speaking of talking about Mike Flanagan, though.
Hold on. Put a pin in it. I'm following up a question.
Go for it.
Two of you, how much do you think that this movie grossed worldwide?
It did get Sundance, and it had a limited release, and then Netflix bought the rights for like 7 years. But pre-release and a limited run theatrical $1 million budget, I bet you this made a return of $46 million. That's my number.
Brooks.
You know what? I'm going to go a little bit bigger on this one. I'm going to go $150
million. $150
Damn, boys.
Million.
With a limited release, where's all this money coming from? This movie made $13.5 million. Okay.
I almost said 23, but I was like, no, I feel this got like good buzz from Sundance, and I gave it the 48 in the 2016 dollars.
Hey,
but
stop snoring.
Yeah. That's billions, man. Brooks, as you were saying about Mike Flanagan.
Mike Flanagan is also taking the helm of the Dark Tower.
Oh, yeah, that'll be interesting.
put it into the hands of somebody that's capable.
Exactly.
Speaking of Stephen King, boys, if you didn't know, Salem's Lot dropped tonight on HBO.
That's on my to-watch list this weekend. So.
Ancillary to Brookstober. I do plan to watch that, so maybe if we all three watch it, we can have a little sidebar discussion. A little mini discussion.
Hold on. Hold on. It's a series, right?
No, it's just a movie. Yeah.
I thought it got put out as a series. Okay.
It's a movie, yeah.
Okay. We only have three picks for a 4-week.
You want to do the fourth as Salem's Lot? I'm down.
I'm down too.
Brooks? Okay. So this can be the fourth pick.
Sounds all good. Right. Yeah.
I'm 100% in. Because we're also going to play some Phantasmophobia, but we've already done an episode on that. So
we can do another one and pretend like we never did.
No, I want to see Scaredy Sean. I remember you running back to the van when the ghost showed up.
Nope. Fuck you guys. I'm out of here.
Ah, that was so, dude, that was so much fun that night. I'm really looking forward to that.
That was a great time. I mean, like,
it creeped me the fuck out, yeah. But goddamn, it was fun.
Oh, and
do either one of you have that VOD? Because there was a VOD of that at one point.
Maybe.
I went looking for it, and it's not on your Twitch.
They do just they delete them after a while. I might have to, if we do one this year, if we do a VOD, I'll download it. I might have downloaded that one. I'll have to go look in my old archives.
Take a peek, because I wanted to show Sarah that recently. Because, yeah. Man, I bitched out so quick.
Oh, and the game's been updated a little bit, too.
You say you did, but you played a lot with, I mean, yeah. You came into the house. We were searching basements. You got balls, baby. You grew
up. But here's the So everybody listening to this, Kyle said it earlier when you're watching a TV and you're like, "No, bitch, don't go in there." No, I'm the one that doesn't go in there.
But you have to in this game.
Yeah, and that's what makes smart one. I will go back to the truck and say, "I don't know. It might be this ghost.
That." And I also remember we were playing another level in like a house in the woods, and the ghost came and you two made it out of the house, and then he shut the door and locked me in and killed me. And I was like, no, I remember being so freaked out because I see him coming down the stairs. And I'm like, open the door.
I can hear every word you said through the door.
Both of us were just on the other side of the door.
I think for that one, we turned off. We got out of Discord because that had the proximity chat.
Yeah, it has proximity chat, which makes it so much better on the creep factor.
That's the one where we went down into the basement and then you went upstairs into the old rickety attic, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I downloaded the game. I'm really fucking hyped to play this.
I'm excited. Before that, though, guys, let's shut the fuck up so we can get back to next week.
Sounds good.
Brooks?
Yo.
Why don't you tell the listeners what they can go do?
They can, you know, they can learn some sign language and go fuck themselves.
Keep it running. Kyle.
Yeah, buddy.
Okay. Since I watched both of these movies within a 7-day period, Kyle, would you rather have to go through a home invasion without your vision or without being able to hear anything? And keep in mind, you haven't had either for, let's say, 20 years, so you are well-educated. If you're blind, you know the way around your house.
God damn, it's tricky, but I think still I'd rather be deaf dealing with a home invasion than blind. Because, on the whole. Gosh, that's a good one, though. God damn. Really nice one.
Thanks, dude. I am super hyped that I don't have to think of a would you rather for another 3 weeks.
All right, boys. I love you both. Yep. Brooks, looking forward to the whole month, baby. Sounds good. We'll see you next week, everybody.